The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Josh Pick is the chief investment advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
Welcome into the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. Bruce Hooley and Josh Pick with you, and we'll be with you for the next hour talking about investing, growing your wealth. We are nearing the end of the calendar year, and there are a lot of things you need to know regarding your money in that realm, so we'll discuss it all today. And you can get a free consultation from Josh and the Aptus Wealth Management team. They're located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, a bit north of the 23-270 interchange. Easy to get to, and they service a lot of their clients remotely, so your physical location really doesn't matter. But to get that free consultation, whether it's remotely or in their office, call 614-917-1040 or do it online at aptuswealth.com, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. And Josh, let's start the show today with talking about the latest things that are in the news. We have the wholesale inflation rate out today. That's different than the general U.S. inflation rate, as you know. We'll get those numbers next week on the 13th of December. But the rate that was out today, and this is the rate of inflation that wholesalers pay. So they're kind of making the goods and selling them to retailers and those of us who purchase them, is 7.7%. That was more than people expected it to be, a little hotter than they say it would be. And there's a bunch of these different numbers. I don't know how significant is it to a consumer or to an average investor. Should they pay attention to the core inflation rate, the wholesale rate, the general inflation rate? Talk about that a bit.
I think a lot of these, you know, these indices or these rates or whatever you want to call them have been created because somebody was trying to tell a story at a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have, if you look at stocks, for example, there's probably 97,000 different metrics you could look at that somebody's saying is the, you know, the golden metric. And similarly with inflation rates, I think there's a little bit of that going on. But ultimately, you know, some of these things are all going to kind of coincide. For example, if the wholesale inflation rate is 7.7, it is reasonable to assume that movements in the wholesale inflation rate will affect the movements in our consumer inflation rates,
mm-hmm.
right? But what we're seeing that I guess is somewhat good news is that inflation is coming down. I wouldn't say it's at a level that we're super excited about. I mean, a 7+% inflation rate isn't nearly as good as 3. But I don't think necessarily people recognize why it's so important. I think we, you know, anecdotally believe that, you know, if the cost of eggs goes up at the grocery store, obviously we know that's bad.
Right.
But what is the difference between a 7-point-whatever-percent inflation rate versus a 3% inflation rate to somebody that's, let's say, retiring? We've talked a lot about this on the show, but there's something called the Rule of 72. And the Rule of 72 simply says that if you take the number 72, and I don't know why this works, people smarter than me came up with it, and you divide it by an interest rate, it tells you how long it takes money to double. So we typically use this for if I had 100 grand and I want to get to 200 grand and I get a 7.2% rate of return, that means I'll double my money in 10 years because 72 divided by 7.2 is 10. But let's look at it from an inflation perspective. If I was nearing or in retirement and I said, well, you know, I'm going to bank my retirement on a 3% inflation rate versus a 7.2. Well, that's the difference of needing as an income,
mm-hmm.
needing twice as much money as an income to live the same way in 10 years versus in 24 years. So this inflation rate being up in sevens and eights is very, very challenging, not just for, you know, going and buying groceries while you're working or trying to keep up with inflation while you're working or trying to grow your money to thwart inflation. But it's very, very important for people who are, quote unquote, on a fixed income in retirement. And how are they going to combat that?
Yeah, no doubt. And I know next week when the general inflation rate comes out, it'll be closely watched because it did decline by a half a percentage point from September to October. And I'm sure the Biden administration will make the point that it's really declined for, let's see, one, two, three, four straight months. In June, it was 9.1%, July 8.5%, then 8.3%, 8.2%, 7.7%. We get the numbers on December the 13th, and I know they're hoping to see it come down more. But even if it's like 7.5%, I mean, that's not a sustainable number for a healthy economy, because the Fed would like to see inflation at around 2%, and that's why they keep raising rates. And I see that the markets today are not reacting well, and they're said to not be reacting well because there's a fear that there's a future Fed rate hike coming. We don't think it'll be 0.75 basis point, but I guess the general consensus is it'll be 0.5 point the next time they raise it.
Well, I think the general consensus would be probably be somewhere around 0.25 point until we got jobs numbers.
Mm.
And we still have more jobs than we have people filling them, essentially. So we still have a very, quote-unquote, strong jobs economy. And while the jobs economy is strong, there's a belief that the Fed will view that as, well, the economy can withstand another rate hike of more significant than 2.25% to maybe, you know, 0.5%. So, you know, we'll see what they end up doing. But my concern is that the Fed, as it's historically done, will overshoot the runway and will, in fact, have a negative impact, a significant one on the economy. And then they'll have to pull back the reins and start doing rate drops.
And all these kinds of things, I know, increase people's level of anxiety, concern. And one of the ways that you can dispense with that, folks, is to do what my wife and I did, which is set for your free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team. We came out of it with peace of mind, with a strategy for how our money was going to be working for us. We're not ready to retire yet, but we are certainly getting close to that. And we don't want to make the mistake of doing something that we're not qualified to do. Go with a fiduciary like Josh, who is required by law to put your best interest first. 614-917-1040. If you would like to set up your free consultation, no obligation at all. You can also do it online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. When you're there on the site, it'd be a great time for you to sign up for Josh's YouTube channel, which allows you to process this kind of information that we're discussing on the show today in smaller doses. And of course, on YouTube, you can pause the content, you can take notes, you can watch it multiple times. Search Josh Pick Finance on YouTube, or just sign up to be a subscriber to the channel at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. You mentioned the Fed and how they reacted to the jobs report, and the jobs report keeps outperforming expectations. But I heard a gentleman you and I have discussed on our segment that we do on the Bruce Hooley Show, 12:30 Mondays, a guy, Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff was on the Megyn Kelly podcast this past week, and he was asked about the jobs numbers. And he says the jobs numbers are a misnomer because many, many people are now working multiple jobs. And I assumed that the jobs number was like full-time jobs, kind of standalone jobs. This is what I do. This is how I provide for my family. But Peter Schiff's contention is that the jobs number being high is a bad indicator of the economy because it shows that people are taking on multiple jobs. I don't know, pizza delivery driver, warehouse worker, whatever, because they need a second income to pay the bills, which are increasing because of inflation. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I certainly can't disagree with, you know, that inclination, or I haven't seen the data to support that, but let's just assume that Peter's accurate. The one thing I would say is always know where your information is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tread a little bit lightly on this, but Peter Schiff, smart guy. He's written a lot of books, runs a good company, lives out of Puerto Rico, or at least last I checked, he still lives in Puerto Rico because of the tax advantages of Puerto Rico. Which if you don't know what the tax advantages of Puerto Rico are, I highly recommend you look it up. If you're an independent business owner and you can afford to move to Puerto Rico, basically don't worry about taxes for the rest of your life.
Wow.
But that said, Peter's really made a living off of saying it's all about to collapse tomorrow.
Mm, okay.
And there's a lot of those type of people out mm-hmm. there. And you know, he fancies himself an economist, whether or not that's true or not, or that's where his schooling is from or not. He definitely runs a money management company. I really enjoy listening to him talk. He's a very coherent speaker, but literally for the last 20 years, he's been saying that the economy is going to collapse tomorrow. And eventually, yeah. You'll be right.
Eventually.
And eventually, you know, he claims to have predicted, you know, the collapses, whichever one it was at the time. But if you just believed that the economy was going to collapse every other day, you would have missed out on the last 12 years of the longest bull run in the history of the market. And I assure you, even with this recent economic downturn, you'd be far better off by being in the market than by hiding in gold.
So I'm interested because one of the things I wanted to ask you today is that you can find an bottomless pit of information on financial advice, prognostications, even data, I'm sure, can be spun this way, that way, whatever. So I think to me that underscores the importance of having somebody that I sit across from and can talk to and understand, you know, your perspective on things. But what should people know about the plethora of information out there? I mean, we always think information's a good thing, but I don't know. As I say, you can find anybody to say anything that sort of reinforces your worldview, whether it's news or sports or entertainment or finances.
Yeah, I would say, you know, just like you would do with anything else, if you were buying a car, and when you were buying the car, you went to a Ford dealer and asked the car salesman at the Ford dealer, what's the best car on the road? He would probably tell you a Ford because mm-hmm. that's what he's got. So I would consider the source, number one. Number two, I would point towards any time there is a scenario where they say this is the new thing that you got to take advantage of that nobody else has seen before. History has a very funny way of repeating itself. You know, as of late, it's been, you know, the cryptocurrencies that were going to be the brand new shiny thing that were going to change the entire world. Rewind the clock back to the 1500s, and it was tulip bulbs. Yes, you heard that right. Tulip bulbs.
Wow.
And there's been, you know, a million different bubbles in between. And by the way, if you haven't looked at cryptocurrency, it's down recently. It's down about 2/3 year to date. So obviously you could have got stung pretty bad on that. So I think when I would look at who should I work with, step one would be, are they a fiduciary? At least I know they're on the same side of the table as me. Number two, what is your approach to money management? How big of an involvement do you believe that politics or any of these like kind of flash in the pan things on television mm-hmm. have an impact on you, the way that you manage money? And, you know, show me the time tested strategies and how they work. If it's, hey, you know, this new president is doing these things and it's going to change the world forever, and that's going to change the way we view money forever, I promise you there's been a lot of bad presidents over the last 50 to 100 years, and we continue to plug along and plug along. That doesn't mean I agree with everything the president's doing, but don't change your entire money management philosophy as a result of it, et cetera. And there's a million instances where we could point towards these kind of emotional things that make us make really stupid, irrational decisions.
Sure, and trendy things too. Like you and I chatted on Monday on the radio show about there's this feeling out there among young investors who have done very well. I think it was a survey by Fortune magazine. They are under the age of 40 and they have $3 million that they're trending toward these kind of new investments in fine art. You can buy, like, for lack of a better term, a mutual fund in fine art, or you can buy, you know, a mutual fund in rental properties, vacation properties. And the financial markets to me always seem to be offering these new opportunities. And the things that my wife and I went with, I don't know if those existed when I was younger, but we decided to mitigate some of the possibility of loss, and while sacrificing some of the high, super high end on gains, that the markets are always reacting. They want your money, so they're always offering different opportunities and different investment chances, correct?
For sure. And the unfortunate part is when you look at, and this is the case with anything, right? I mean, if you look at Tesla. So Tesla, relatively new auto manufacturer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It has had explosive growth. It has also had quite a tumultuous year. Well, similarly, does that mean Tesla is a bad stock? No. Would you want to have invested in the five companies that you thought were Tesla 10 years ago, and how would that have turned out? That's what people are trying to do. People believe that it's a fool's game to play with boring companies like Coca-Cola and IBM.
Mm-hmm.
We should be trying to figure out the next Tesla. And I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't be trying to figure out the next Tesla. What I am suggesting is that is not a predictable way to retire. And I think at the core of our feelings, we all want to be rich, right? We all do.
Sure.
And I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't try and aspire to be rich. However, what most of us want is, as a baseline, if I continue to do the right things, I work my job, I continue to get promotions, I do the right things, I save the right amount of money, that at some point in the future, whatever time frame that is for you, I have the option of financial freedom. I can walk away from my job. Some people call it retirement. I can walk away and retire, do whatever the heck I want to do. Make sure you're doing those things first. Then, by all means, buy into whatever widget you want, but make sure that you have your bases covered in a predictable approach.
Yeah, and that's what they specialize in at Aptus, is explaining to you the difference between strategies. And really, you end up, at least in our case, we ended up on the same page as a couple. But then I think also, you know, you guys do a great job of explaining things in a way that there really wasn't any disagreement in terms of what we wanted to do. And a lot of it is balanced against what your risk tolerance is as a couple. And those are all things that people find out when you sit for the free consultation at Aptus Wealth Management, located in Lewis Center off Route 750. 614-917-1040 to set up your free appointment with Josh and his team. You can also do it online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. This show will re-air tomorrow at noon on The Answer, so check that out. If you have a friend who you think would enjoy the show, we'd appreciate you steering our content to them. So let's talk about, we talk about stocks and Tesla and finding the next Tesla and this, that, and the other. End of the year, all the different inflationary factors and rate hikes from the Fed and this, that, and the other have introduced a ton of speculation about where the markets are headed, and people watch them on a daily basis. And you've said before, like, maybe don't watch them on a daily basis, or particularly not an hourly basis. But do you have a thought on what 2023 might look like based upon what we anticipate the conditions in the market will be?
Yeah. So as we look at 2022, as we sit here today, the S&P 500, which is what most people call the market, is down just shy of about 18% on the year.
Major correction.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been down as much as 26% on the year, depending upon what part of the year you're looking at. But as of today, it's just shy of 18. And then the bond market, and this is kind of the surprise for most people, the bond market has been down in the high teens, and it's sitting today, it's still down. The aggregate bond index is down over 10% year to date. So when we think about kind of this, I'm going to be a moderate investor or safe as I get closer and closer to retirement, I shift more and more to bonds because that's the safe place to be, I would guess that most people wouldn't consider being down in the teens as being safe. I've lost 10% of my money.
Yeah.
So even if you were 50-50 between the S&P 500, you went to Vanguard and you got 50% of the S&P 500 and 50% of the bond index, you're still down, you know, 27 divided by 2, you're still down, call it 14%. Now, what we're hearing from almost every, economic prediction, whether that's Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or Oppenheimer, you name it, they're all kind of saying the same thing. And that is, the belief is that the market is going to go up over the next 12 months, somewhere to the tune of up 10%-ish. Now, they said that when the market was down about another 3%. So let's just assume that we can predict that the market's going to rally back a decent chunk. That still doesn't get us back to even. And then as we predict moving into next year, where do we think that the Fed is going to stop raising rates? The belief amongst, again, this is the economists out there, is that will taper to a halt sometime at the end of first quarter.
Okay.
If that is the belief, then the belief would be that we are going to be in these tumultuous kind of times until sometime at the end of first quarter of next year. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't have the slightest idea, Bruce.
No, I would never intend to hold you to that. There's just so many terms out there that I think make people nervous. And one of the terms, we haven't brought it up yet today, but we have in past shows, is recession. And there persist these opinions, analysis, whatever you want to call it, that we're headed for a recession. You can hear dire predictions about a deep recession. You can hear about a soft recession. What would a recession look like, and what would that do to wealth management moving into 2023?
Well, it's also interesting. I always find it almost comical to listen to how people answer the questions about recessions. Like, I think Jamie Dimon recently came out and said, you know, we're on the precipice of one significant event throwing us into a recession. Isn't that always the case?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, World War III is going to throw us into a recession.
9/11 threw us into it. Yeah.
I mean, we're always on the precipice of going into recession. I'm not picking on him.
No.
I mean, clearly he's a smart guy.
That's kind of a captain.
And then you have the other people who are always screaming recession, i.e. Peter Schiff, which you mentioned earlier. He's literally always screaming recession. But what does a recession look like, and do I think we're headed there? Well, first, I certainly hope not. A recession is not a good thing. I hear people saying we're in a recession right now. If we are, it certainly doesn't feel like recessions of old. Are things more difficult? Is inflation high? Does everybody have a job that is keeping up with that level of inflation? Do we have a housing problem and high interest rates? These are all true. But what I don't see is the pure desperation that we've seen in previous recessions. If you think about 08-09, that was a pretty tumultuous time. Do people still have equity in their homes? And it's just a different scenario than it was back then. So let's hope we're not going there. What could cause us to go there? If we start getting terrible job reports, if we have another break in the chain of supply, so think of us as going into a trade war with China. If we cannot get this inflation under control and interest rates continue to have to climb and we end up with 12, 14, 15% of interest rates, that would be a very bad scenario. That would all roads would lead to bad. However, if you look at some of the interviews from not economists, but from people who are in the consumer area, meaning I run a company and I'm telling you what our demand is for our goods and services at the company, all those numbers are very favorable. So if we are heading into a recession, I don't think that it's imminent. I think that we still have some good opportunities. Now, what would I do moving forward? And this is important, as you said, you had mentioned you came in with your wife and you were on the same page with risk tolerance. I think oftentimes when people come in, their immediate belief system, because, we're investment advisors, is we're going to say, put your money in the market, just hang in there.
Yeah.
It's an efficient system. Deal with the highs and the lows. Quit your belly aching and just stay the course.
Or I think a lot of people feel like this particular investment person has a favorite investment and they're going to steer me into that. They're going to try to talk me into that. And I'm not going to have any power to decide what we do. And if I don't like what their investment is, then they're probably not the advisor for me.
For sure. We hear all of that stuff. So let me dispel some of those myths. One, I am completely and utterly agnostic towards investments. That said, I am not agnostic towards the process of picking them. And I am not agnostic towards people are different. And I have plenty of clients that have come in and said, I want no market risk whatsoever. I understand that that means I'm probably going to get a lower rate of return. I understand that that means I'm probably going to have to save more or live on less. But I emotionally cannot handle the highs and the lows in the markets. So I don't want to do it. That is completely and utterly fine. And I have some good news for those folks and for everybody for that matter. Although there are very negative side effects to the raising of interest rates in the area of buying a home, buying a car, all of the things that go along with borrowing, there are some really strong benefits to the savers of the world. And I believe that while the market is going to be tumultuous and maybe we'll have a rally by the end of first quarter, I believe something else is going to happen. And I believe by the end of first quarter next year, we're going to be looking at the potential of locking into guaranteed fixed annuity and fixed CD rates of up in the north of 5-6% range. So why is that important? Because if you look over the last 20 years, the average of the stock market has only been about 6%. Now, we like to think about the last 10 years because it's been amazing. But if you include in COVID, 08-09, 01-02, the average over time gets stripped down to about 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can get 6 guaranteed, that's going to be very, very attractive to certain people. And I think that we're going to see that heading into the end of first quarter next year.
You know, we talk about these indicators for recession coming. And the one question I've had is, could we be, for whatever reason, pandemic, whatever, in an era where the predictors that we've been able to count on before are things we can't count on now? Like jobs numbers and those kinds of things. Because the job market's robust. You can get a job anywhere. I don't know how well it pays. But I just wonder, is there a possibility or is that something that's not really possible that the predictors will predict a recession?
There is no predictor that I'm aware of that has universally been correct, with one exception that I can't think of that has not pointed towards bad times to come. That is something called an inverted yield curve.
Mm.
And all that means is if you are not rewarded by saving money for a longer period of time, think of it as I'm making more money as an interest rate on a one-year CD than a five-year CD. There has never been a time that I'm aware of, feel free to call in and correct me on this, that has not pointed towards a downturn in the stock market. And we are currently there.
Yeah.
So that is not a good indicator. But other than that, they're all, what's the secret sauce of you picking all of your predictors? There's no secret bullet.
Yeah, we've talked about that inverted yield curve here before. It does seem odd that you would lock up your money for 10 years and the return that you would get would not be as good. And right now, and don't hold me to this, folks, I'm just giving a kind of a picture of what it's like. The shorter you have your money in certain investments, you can get a higher return than you would in that same investment for a longer term. That's unusual. That's what Josh means when he talks about an inverted yield curve. But I can tell you from going in and sitting with Josh and his team, you're not overloaded with a bunch of terms that you don't understand. It's a very easy conversation. It's one that, as I said, gave my wife and I peace of mind. Sit for the free consultation, 614-917-1040, or you can do it online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Bruce Hooley and Josh Pick with you on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. Glad to have you along. And you can send us an email and get your questions answered on the show. Send it to bruce@salemmedia.com. bruce@salemmedia.com. The show airs at 7 p.m. Friday, which, of course, you know if you're listening to it right now, but also it replays at noon on Saturday. And you should catch Josh on my radio show, 98.9 The Answer, the Bruce Hooley Show, every Monday at 12:30 p.m. That's when we do Money Monday. And Josh and his team would like to meet with you for a free consultation, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. You can also do it on the web at aptuswealth.com, set it up, that is. And you can do it on the web via Zoom or some other remote format because they do service a lot of clients remotely. That's one outgrowth of the pandemic. You don't even have to be located here in the Central Ohio area to meet with Josh and his team. You can drive in or you can do it remotely. So here we sit. Couple weeks from Christmas, couple weeks from the end of the year. And I know we've talked about a lot of things that people need to have on their radar to accomplish by the end of the year before. And we've also spent time talking about some of the numbers out there that are not exactly encouraging and words that scare people like inflation, recession, Fed rate hike, and the like. But that did work out, at least it will in 2023, to the advantage of Social Security recipients in that the cost of living increase for Social Security in 2023 is pretty robust compared to previous years.
Yeah, they announced it's going to be 8.7%, which, you know, you might be listening to this going, well, yeah, but the cost of groceries are X.
Yeah.
But we just got done saying that overall inflation is currently sitting in the sevens and your Social Security is going up by 8.7. So the timing was actually in your favor as to when they calculated that. So that's a good thing.
Is it a good thing, though, that it needs to be that high? I mean, the answer to that is obviously no.
It's a terrible thing. It's a strain on the economy. We already have a, you know, admittedly broken system and admittedly from the federal government, the way Social Security and some changes need to be made. And does this add a stress to that?
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a great thing, but it's a good thing if you're collecting.
So speaking of broken system, there are a lot of people out there who would say that the American tax system is a broken system. We're at the end of the year. There are probably some things that people can do to mitigate their taxes. If you're a regular listener to the show, we've talked about some of them before, but I don't think it's ever wrong to underscore them because people might forget or at least know that, hey, this is really important and I am actually in control to some degree of the taxes that I'll have to pay.
Yeah, I think it's important to dispel the myth that, you know, I hear this a lot. I have a great tax person. I'm good. Your tax person, large in part, for the majority of Americans, not for the people who have maybe an accountant on staff who's constantly reviewing your business matters. But I'm talking about the average person that come April or, you know, March, you go get your taxes done by some tax preparer. By the time you go see your tax preparer, a lot of what I'm going to talk about right now is simply too late to do. You have to accomplish some of these by January 1st. So some things that you can do. One, charitable contributions. You know, we've probably heard that after the Trump tax plan, we lost a lot of ability to donate to charities and get a credit for it, particularly because you have to exceed your standard deduction before you even start itemizing. And quite frankly, most of you listening are not exceeding your standard deduction. So you get zero benefit for donating to the church, donating to whatever your favorite cause is. Now, there's an end around to get around that, and that is something called a qualified charitable donation or a QCD. It's allowed by the IRS. An individual can do up to $100,000 per year of this, so it's a pretty significant level.
Yeah.
And if you're married, you could do upwards of $200,000 because you both get $100,000. And all you're doing is simply redirecting the withdrawal you're taking from your IRA directly to your charity. So let me give an example.
Okay.
Say you're retired and you have Social Security, maybe a pension, and then you take withdrawals from your IRA. And let's say those withdrawals from your IRA are $20,000 a year. And I take out that $20,000 and then I turn around and I donate $5,000 of it to the church. Well, that didn't do you any good whatsoever.
Because you'd pay taxes on that.
You'd pay taxes on the $5,000 you donated to the church. You pay taxes on the full $20,000.
Okay.
Let's say you did one thing different. You had your wherever your investments are held, your IRA, you had your IRA send you $15,000, and then you had your IRA send your church directly $5,000. The $5,000 you went to your church qualifies as part of your minimum required distribution, if you're required to take one of those, and is a non-taxable event in any capacity. So it's like it never happened. So you're only taxed on $15,000. So you just got a dollar for dollar deduction on your contributions.
So I'm not looking for a political answer here. I'm genuinely curious because my wife does taxes, and I kind of like the idea back when you could donate your home mortgage interest. And if you donated to a church or you donated, you know, to whatever charitable cause, you got a deduction for that. And then as I'm aware that the Trump tax cuts kind of gave everyone a blanket deduction of X amount of dollars. What kind of feedback have you gotten from your clients over the years? And were the Trump tax cuts giving that blanket deduction that kind of simplified things? Do people like that? Or did people kind of like me kind of miss the old days where you felt like you were doing good? Like it's not as, it's just something personally with me. It's like, I can't really know that I'm getting X amount of dollar tax deduction because of what we donate to our local church.
I mean, the belief system when it was at least outlaid was that people are going to donate money whether they get a tax deduction or not. And businesses was the real concern. Businesses that donate money, because corporate donors are very significant to many charities, corporate donors wouldn't continue to donate. So they changed it where you can actually still write off corporate donations. It's just the individual that can't. You know, the short answer on this is, unfortunately, you know, we live in a very polarized society, particularly when it comes to politics. So, and then if you look at, you know, the person who passed it being Donald Trump, being one of the most polarizing presidents of our time.
No doubt.
You know, because he did it, the other side of the aisle thought it was the worst idea ever.
Sure.
Whether it was or wasn't, I don't know. But there, the takeaway here is, how do I continue to achieve the same objective without having to get caught up in these tax changes? And unfortunately, the only way you can get around it is through qualified charitable donations or own a business. However, you could say, well, I lost out on these deductions. For most people, the increase in the standard deduction and the reduction of the overall tax rates was a benefit. So even though you quote, lost something, you actually gained something else that was offsetting.
Set up your free consultation with the Aptus team by calling 614-917-1040, or you can do it online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. And while you're on the site, you can subscribe to Josh's YouTube channel. You can also, of course, do that directly on YouTube, but it would be a lot easier to get notifications when he posts new content. If you want to do it directly, search Josh Pick Finance on YouTube. Or if you sign up, then you'll get notified every time he posts content. You'll be able to pause that content, watch it a second time, take notes, send it to friends, share it with them. And we would invite you to let your friends know about this show, which airs at 7 p.m. on Friday night and re-airs at noon on Saturday. So back to your qualified charitable distribution scenario, we have talked about Roth IRAs and IRAs and all this, and as a way to, when you're in retirement, to have already paid your taxes on your things you're withdrawing. But I would assume that there are some retirees who can get in a situation, and in fact, we've discussed it, where you get so much back in Social Security and so much in distributions, particularly if you don't have a Roth IRA, but if you have a general IRA, where a qualified charitable distribution might allow you to not pay taxes while you're in retirement.
Yeah, shockingly, I'll tell you, I had a conversation with a client today, and they said, well, you know, I mean, I'm going to need to pull a lot of money out in retirement because I'm used to paying, you know, 40% in taxes on everything I make. So if I want to live on $60,000 a year, I really have to pull 100. And unfortunately, that's because we're so used to paying things like wage taxes and state taxes and all these different. By the time you get to retirement, if you are a business owner, you just saved 15% in taxes just because you don't have to pay wage taxes anymore. Then reduce it. Well, if I don't have to take 15% more, well, now I'm probably in a lower tax bracket. So my federal taxes drop. And then I don't have to pay taxes on all of my Social Security. So now that drops even more. And what people find is that, contrary to popular belief, that we get told these stories of, you're going to pay more in taxes in retirement, and it's going to be a terrible thing, it's simply not true for most. But then if you, in kind, think about doing some planning with Roth IRAs as opposed to traditional IRAs. Well, now you have a source of income that's completely tax-free. Well, now you can have a scenario where I have Social Security not being taxable, my Roth IRA not being taxable, and then I can take 20 grand from something else. And because of the standard deduction, I don't have to pay tax on that either. I have people retiring on pretty darn good livings, paying zero federal income taxes. It's a pretty sweet place to be.
Well, it is indeed. And it requires planning, and it requires a purposeful blueprint, if you will. And that's what they specialize in, the Aptus Retirement Blueprint. So set that free consultation up, 614-917-1040, or do it on the web at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Let's say somebody was a business owner and they got really busy doing their business. They got busy with life. We all get busy. And they always intended to convert to a Roth IRA, and they just didn't do it, and they've got IRAs, and they've invested, and they've done all the things right, but everything except maybe doing what might have been a really good idea to switch to a Roth and get those taxes out of the way early. Is there a time where it's too late to do that?
You know, I wish there was this kind of perfect silver bullet answer. Everybody's looking for the answer of all answers that just clarifies everything. You know, when is too old, or when's the right time, or how much money do I need to make? And unfortunately, the answer is individual, but let me walk you through the process and why that is.
Mm-hmm.
So first, a traditional IRA, your first-time listener, is for people to put money into a vehicle. An IRA in and of itself is not an investment. It's just a tax code vehicle. So you, inside of your IRA, you could have a mutual fund, bonds, checking account, pork belly. You name it. You can have anything in there. But it is a way to put money into a savings vehicle pre-tax. It grows tax deferred, so you don't pay any taxes on the gains while you're still growing it. But then once you pull the money out, 100% of it's taxable. A Roth IRA, on the other hand, is you put in money after tax. You don't get the tax benefit today. It still grows tax deferred, but as long as you leave the money in there for 5 years, every nickel you pull out of it is tax free. Now, the reason why people sometimes say, well, I'm too old for it, is obviously the more growth you have, that's more tax-free income. So the younger, the better. So to answer the question with a silver bullet answer, the younger you are, the more advantage you get out of doing a Roth IRA. So by all means, if you're 22 and listening to this right now, Roth is your answer. However, as we get further and further, closer and closer to retirement, a couple of things happen. One, if you simply make too much money, you can no longer contribute to a Roth. So there's two different types of Roths. There's a contributory Roth, which is the one where I'm putting in, you know, $6,000, or next year it'll be $6,500, or if you're over the age of 50, you can actually do $1,000 more than that, so $7,000 or $7,500 a year. But there are income requirements for that. So you might not qualify for income because the closer we get to retirement, that's our highest earning years typically. However, you can do something called a Roth conversion, and that's where the question really starts to arise, is when should I do this? Am I too old? Does it not make sense for me? And a Roth conversion is taking some of that pre-tax traditional IRA money, paying the taxes on it today, and now being in a Roth where I never have to pay taxes on it again. And the secret sauce there is completely based upon your individual scenario. If you are in the 12% tax bracket today and you go, man, by the time minimum required distributions kick in, which is that time period in your life where you're forced to take money out at the age of 72, by the time that happens, even under current tax law, they're going to bump me all the way to the 22% bracket.
Mm-hmm.
If you have room in the 12% bracket, meaning I could do a Roth conversion with 40 grand and not leap out of the 12% bracket, why not pay 12 today so you don't have to pay 22 later?
Right.
Now, there are shades of gray involved here, and it gets a little bit more complicated, but that is the general ideology. Now, unfortunately, there's plenty of people running out there that I hear about all the time, which their pitch, if you will, is convert everything to a Roth. Let me show you how. Well, if you have a $1 million IRA and you convert all of it to a Roth today,
whew,
I promise you, you're going to be very upset with the consequences come tax time. So you better have a plan or a strategy that makes logical sense. And what makes logical sense depends on your situation.
Yeah, paying as little tax as possible is the short answer I would have to what makes logical sense. So this might be a dumb question, but you know, we have people now who retire. Everybody wants to retire early. Let's say somebody's able to. They've been really good with their money, and they've been very successful. They retire at 62, 65, and they're planning to live, you know, because their life expectancy is going up. They live into their 80s, 90s. Do people who have, quote unquote, retired still invest? Is it a thing that they still invest in an IRA? Or are you not allowed to once you, quote unquote, retire?
You have to have earned income for that. Remember, I said there's two options.
Okay, gotcha.
So the contributory option you have to have income substantial enough to justify your investment, which means if you make $6,000 from work, you can save $6,000 into an IRA.
Okay.
Similarly, just for everybody else that's listening, has kids, if your kid has a job and you want to start your kid out ahead of the game and you have the financial wherewithal to help them and you believe they're not going to just squander the money away, if your kid's working at, like my kid works at, you know, a restaurant and he makes $5,000 a year, I can put $5,000 into an IRA on his behalf. It doesn't have to be his money. It just has to be justified by his income.
No, that's a great idea. And I think it's powerful for a young person to see their money accruing. I think it builds in an idea of value on investing.
Well, you know, it's different for everybody. But my hope is that if I can keep them from snagging that money out of there too quickly, which I don't have to tell them about it until they kind of figure out about it or start doing their own taxes, which I believe I probably have until about 22 before that happens.
There you go.
Well, now if I've been doing that since they were 16 to 22, it should be a substantial enough money where hopefully we can build that into the system of look at what it can do.
That's one of the things that my wife and I appreciated about the consultation with Josh and his team was that we got some really good advice and things that we wouldn't have necessarily thought as we walked in there. We're under the umbrella of investment. And as a fiduciary, Josh is required by law to do what's best for his client. So that's another just a personal note on why I would advocate for you to go in and get your free consultation. Set it up online, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com, or do it on the phone at 614-917-1040. So in talking about tax planning for the end of the year, obviously one of those ways is it time to do a Roth conversion? What else should people know about tax planning here as we sit on nearly December the 10th, December the 9th, just a couple weeks away from the end of the calendar year?
Yeah, well, we just got done talking about, it's interesting, you know, to do a contributory Roth or traditional IRA, you can do those all the way through tax time. So believe it or not, it's one of the few things in the tax code where if you decide, you know, hey, I'd like to save some money on my taxes, you go sit with your tax person. They say you owe $3,000 in taxes. However, if you put $6,000 in an IRA, you can lower that down to $1,500. You go, perfect, I'll do it. You can actually make a contribution to your traditional or Roth IRA all the way through April 15th for the year prior. However, if you want to do a Roth conversion, which means I want to convert some of my traditional IRA to a Roth, you got to do that by December 31st.
Okay.
So there's these different kind of nuanced pieces of the tax codes. For example, if you want to do an HSA, which is a health savings account, it is a way to put away money, much like a Roth IRA, except for with one added benefit. An HSA, you get to put money in pre-tax. It grows tax deferred. And if you use it for healthcare expenses, it's tax free. So it's literally using tax pre-tax money to pay for your healthcare. It's a great option. There's different limits. I'll let you look those up. But you can put upwards of north of $7,000 per family in an HSA if you qualify. But you got to do that before December 31st. So there's all these kind of nuanced things. If you want to contribute to a charity with that qualified charitable donation that we were talking about, you got to do that before December 31st. And also remember that all of these are, while they're very much, you know, accepted practices under IRS guidelines, and this is nothing gray by any means, you're not the only ones trying to do these. So if you think that you're going to call Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Vanguard on December 31st to do your Roth conversion, it's probably not going to get done in time. And I promise you, the IRS doesn't care if Vanguard was just busy.
Yeah.
So you better start thinking about that stuff now.
No doubt about it. And it's never too late to start investing. And also, I would say never too late to get in for your free consultation. You might think, oh, I'm ashamed. I don't have enough money, this, that, the other. Trust me, those were things that I wondered about, too. You don't need to wonder about them. Meet with Josh and his team, 614-917-1040, or set it up online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. One of the things we talked about early on was economic conditions and market conditions and all that. And I would imagine as you encounter clients, there are still a lot of people who have a fair amount of their net worth tied up in their homes. And a lot of people are nervous about the home market and mortgage rates and things of that nature. Is there anything end of year related on homes or end of year related on things related to home buying that people should know about?
You know, I'm going to echo some of the sentiments that we had talked about with Kevin here just a few weeks ago, who, if to bring everybody back up to speed, we had a gentleman online or on the show a few weeks ago who's really tuned into the housing market. That's what he does for a living. And, you know, if you need a home, buy the home that you need.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford the home, buy the home. Do I think that there's going to be a housing collapse? I do not. Do I think that the market that we've been in for the last couple of years is going to cool off? I think it's going to cool off. And we're already, same conversation with a client that I had today. He said, man, they're moving to Florida. And he said, I really wish we would have sold our house last year. I think we probably could have got an extra, or I'm sorry, earlier in the year, we probably could have got an extra 50 grand that we can get right now. So you're already starting to feel that kind of cooling off in the housing market. Are there things that you can do? You know, I would suggest that as you're doing your planning for next year, you can start looking at, you know, when do I want to pay my real estate taxes? Would it be more advantageous for me on my itemized deductions to pay that, you know, more in one year than in the other?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much in interest do I actually have? All the standard deduction versus itemized deductions type stuff. In the past, I would have said, you know, start looking at a home equity line of credit. I suggest that everybody grabs a home equity line of credit on their house as long as they can get one for free. Unfortunately, the rates now are up in the sevens as opposed to where they were before, down in the threes. But having a home equity line of credit, as long as you're disciplined, affords you an opportunity to gain equity out of your home anytime you need it. It's a loan that's already approved. And unfortunately, God forbid, if you actually, let's talk recession and say you actually need a home equity line, it's probably because you don't have a job. And it's going to be really hard to get a home equity line when you don't have a job. So I recommend that everybody get a home equity line in their home before they need it. Just don't use it.
Yeah, and you can open that, right, and not use it, but it's open and it's approved, and then you have it if you're there. And just in the way of home sales and some of the numbers and interest rates and stuff around homes, and this just shows, I think it's important. It may not apply directly to someone listening to the program right now about their home, but this just shows you how much what appear to be a nominal change in interest rates can affect affordability in not just homes, but in all things. 2019, the median home, which I'm going to say probably 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath, you would have needed a family income of $52,000 to get a loan, and your mortgage payment per month would have been $1,220. Now, for that same home, because interest rates have more than doubled in the last year, you need a $100,000 income as a family, and your monthly payment is $2,200. So your monthly payment has gone up $1,000, and your income had to almost double for the same home in a span of 3 years. That shows you the power, in this case, kind of the debilitating power of interest rate hikes and things of that nature.
Yeah, you know, I was exercising with a guy yesterday, and I said, how's life? And he said, well, I had a job change. I said, why? Well, I was in the mortgage business. Do you need to know anymore?
Ooh.
And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen this. We've been around a while. We saw this happen in 08, 09 to a different capacity. We're seeing it happen again today. You know, the home market, we like to say that, you know, one of your best investments is your home because you could be rewarded or paid back for having to live somewhere, mm-hmm. which is great. But unfortunately, as much as we'd like to think it as a safe investment, and you know, we start using averages much like we do with the market, well, the average home has gone up by 3 or 4% every single year over the last 20 years. It's not a straight line. And we're in one of those periods where the line was very, very flat for a long period of time, and then COVID hit and shot up like a rocket ship. And now we're dealing with the jet wash of said rocket ship. And unfortunately, that's going to make it very difficult, particularly on new young families. You were describing basically, you know, the young family starter home, if you will. It's going to become very, very difficult there, and we'll see kind of what the future holds. But I feel bad for people in that situation.
I do too. The latest headlines, though, are somewhat promising. While rates have more than doubled, they briefly were atop 7%. Now they're back down to 6.33. So, yeah, what they were, 3%. Yeah, they were, but they're coming down. The 15-year mortgage was 5.67, is 5.67. Now it was 2.38. So, look, this is the pain. This is what we've talked about. You know, the inflationary numbers, recessionary numbers, all this stuff. It's not great. It underscores the importance of getting with Josh and the Aptus Wealth team. They're located in Lewis Center, 614-917-1040, aptuswealth.com, APTUS. Sign up to be a subscriber to Josh's YouTube channel. And we'll do it again next week, and we'll do Money Monday on Monday with Josh at 12:30 p.m. on The Answer. Josh, great to see you. Appreciate your time. Talk to you again soon.
You as well. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.